Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. The iconic Classic Full Zip Hoodie is the jacket that started it all for American Giant. Custom heavyweight fleece and side panels for mobility make it the best hoodie ever. And a double-lined hood and reinforced elbow patches means this hoodie will last. Born from a commitment to support the communities that create its products, every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing, like the premium Slub Crew tee, no BS high-rise pant, and slim roughneck pant that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
You are listening to Perplexity.
What would you do if you saw a dark entity flee from your window? What if a picture frame in your home lifted off of the nail, flying and shattering across the room? What would you do if you acquired an evil, possessed doll? You are listening to Volume 2 of A Perplexing Listener-Sode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I am your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying this special listener-sode today, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you're a returning listener, hello, my friends. Welcome back. Super excited you all are here. I am sharing your stories today, and I hope that you guys enjoyed my special feed drop last week. I know I took a break from storytelling, but that was such an interesting, crazy case, the Kentucky vampire cult. I loved discussing that with Like Mother, Like Murder. So if you guys haven't listened to that yet, I would highly recommend it. And I just want to remind everybody of a couple things really quickly, and then we will dive into today's listener-sode. So first of all, I have an exciting announcement. I had initially a couple weeks ago talked about going to some different places, Midsummer Scream in August, Crime Con in September. For Midsummer Scream, I was originally just going to be there on Saturday, but my friend Amanda got me a weekend pass, so I am planning on being there the whole weekend now. So if you are in the California area, the Long Beach Convention Center is where Midsummer Scream is going to be. It's the 15th through the 17th, and the tickets are pretty cheap. I think they're like $70 for the whole weekend. It is a Halloween horror convention in the middle of the summer. It's so much fun. And we are planning on doing a creator meetup with a bunch of other podcasters and inviting our listeners as well. So I would love to see you guys there. And if you are interested in doing a Denver meetup, I will also be in Denver September 5th through the 7th, and maybe a couple days before and after that as well for CrimeCon. But I'm also open to doing other things. And same thing there, I'll be there with a bunch of other creators. CrimeCon, I've never been to. So I'm really, really excited to see how that goes. But I would love to see you guys at Midsummer Scream and at CrimeCon. And just want to keep reminding everybody to continue to share the show with people. If you have a mystery lover in your life, that really, really helps. That word of mouth goes a long way. 5-star reviews wherever you listen, wherever you don't listen, subscribe. And if you really want to support, if you want early ad-free episodes and so much exclusive bonus content, go check out the Patreon at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. I just released another episode of Texas Urban Legends. We talked about the Ozark Howler, which is like this big cat cryptid, and that was really fun. I am doing some more documentary coverage this next week, where I'm either going to be doing a treasure hunting documentary or the Martha Stewart documentary. I haven't decided yet, but they both seem really interesting. And the episode before was another round of creepy stories from the internet. So there's a lot going on there. And the tiers start at just $2 a month. Also, special shout out to Kinsey and Michelle for buying more merch this week. Thank you for supporting the show, and I hope you enjoy your merch. If you guys are interested in merch, that bonfire link is always in the episode descriptions. And if you have a listener story, if you really like this episode and you want your story featured in my next listener-sode, you can always send me stories to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. I read them all. It doesn't matter how big or small your story is, I want to hear it. Trigger warning for today's episode. This episode will contain some content that could be considered disturbing to some listeners. Listener discretion advised. And there are no sources for today's episode because these are listener stories from you guys. But I will be shouting people out as we go through. Without further ado, let's get into this perplexing listener-sode. So this first story comes from Brianna, and Brianna has some ghost stories for us. So she says, "Hey Kadra, here are my two ghost stories. I had a friend couch surfing at an apartment of mine, and a lot of the time she would have weird experiences while I wasn't around. The radio would turn on by itself in a weird staticky station. Or one time, she was grabbing something out of the closet and my hangers started shaking by themselves. I also would have weird ghost-related dreams that would give me sleep paralysis around the time she was staying with me, but often at times when she wasn't home. One weekend, she ended up staying with her parents while she was recovering from a medical procedure, and I came home late from a show and my place was trashed. Like, things were just thrown around, collectibles placed in weird spots, the radio was on a weird static channel, and mannequin heads were thrown around all over the place because, of course. I went into my room and my closet door was wide open when I know I had closed it before I left for the evening. I felt this rush of heat cover my body as soon as I entered. I ended up leaving to stay with her at her parents' house because I couldn't handle it that night. I returned and tried to do cleansing rituals, salt lining the walls, burning sage, spraying holy water, only for something weird to happen a few days later. I was sitting on the couch with my boyfriend at the time, and I looked up over at the fireplace mantle. I had a collection of 40s to 50s poodle figurines and lady-shaped vases. I noticed they were all facing towards us at an angle that they typically wouldn't be. It was scary. I hadn't slept in days, and I had an emotional breakdown at work when my boss at the time proceeded to tell me she could essentially see spirits and had experienced things like this herself. At that point, I was desperate, and while I was skeptical, I was interested in any solution. She came to my apartment and was helping me cleanse it. The next thing I knew, she was yelling, "Get out!" and chasing something out of my window with sage. She never officially told me what she saw, I think out of my peace of mind. She said it wasn't a spirit, but some sort of negative energy. I always wonder if it was some sort of evil entity with the hot feeling that I felt near my closet, as opposed to a cold feeling when people have interactions with spirits. The extra weird thing is that the next day I found out my neighbor had been stalking me, and I had to call the police because he left a creepy note on my door and was watching me through my window. I still have no clarity on what happened, but I sometimes wonder if some higher source was trying to scare me out to prevent me from being harmed from my neighbor. I also have been dealing with a lot of depression and existentialism, so I also felt that maybe something was trying to show me there was something to believe in that sense. I don't believe there was any way for my friend or anyone else to have done what I had seen. Sometimes things would change location while I was in just the other room. I moved out shortly after that, and I never had anything happen like that anywhere I lived again. My other story is more fun, relating to the salon that I worked at that was haunted. My old boss, from the previous story, said that the ghost was of her friend and past employee. They were very close, and sadly, he had passed in the late 80s, very young. I think the spirit had taken a liking to me because he was always playing practical jokes on me. We had our licenses hanging on the wall next to the makeup counter, and while I was there, applying makeup for a client, he had thrown one of the licenses off the wall, and when I went to pick it up, it was mine. Another time I was in the bathroom, doing my business, when all of a sudden the trash can lid started swinging forcefully by itself. It was as if someone had chunked something into it. That said, good thing I was already on the toilet or I would have pissed myself. One time, some coworkers and I were all standing at the front desk, chit-chatting, when we heard something fall from the other room. It was almost like a book had been tossed several feet across the room from the shelf it was on. When we went to pick it up, it was a book about famous ghosts. Truly an excellent sense of humor. Sometimes in the morning, when I was setting up my station, he would knock my blow dryer off the stand, or he would throw shampoo bottles off the back bar. Most of the time, I would just pick these things up and keep going. But sometimes I would tell him, "That's really funny, but today I'm not feeling it." I noticed this started occurring while I was going through some hard personal things. I feel that he could tell when I was having a bad day, and I think he was trying to cheer me up. I would tell my boss about what all he would do, and she would tell me that he had a very good sense of humor. I'm happy that he was friendly and seemed to take a liking to me. I always felt comforted by his presence and felt like he was sort of looking out for me, or that he had the playful banter of just another coworker. I haven't worked there for a few years now, but I'm still connected to my old boss and some of my old friends from there. Just the other day, she shared a photo on Facebook from a past company party, and I was able to tell who he was in the picture immediately without ever meeting him before. Another fun bit of lore is that apparently this employee, the ghost, was able to help convict someone of murder. My boss had said he had a regular client who would get their hair blown out weekly. This client suddenly passed away, and he was asked to do her hair for her funeral service. When he arrived, he noticed her hair was parted on the opposite side from where she had worn it for years. He brought this to the authorities, And after an investigation, it had come to light that she was murdered by her husband, and he was also suspected of murdering his first wife. I think it took several decades for them to come to that conclusion, as they were still contacting my boss for the investigation by the time that I was working there. I'm sure that he would be happy to know that he was eventually brought to justice. Wow, so Brianna has clearly had a lot of different experiences. There's a lot to unpack here. And I really feel like Brianna, of all people, would have a good understanding of a good spirit versus a bad spirit, because it sounds like she's encountered both. In her home with her old ex-boyfriend, there was this angry entity. I've never heard the feeling before of feeling heat. I've just heard the cold, but that does make sense to me. The heat could be symbolic of an evil entity, and the cold could just be more of a general spirit or something more benevolent. But the idea of coming home and like seeing your home absolutely trashed, I mean, the first thing I would think is that someone broke into my house. But you have a lot of other things compiled in that story that make it seem a lot more paranormal. And it's also interesting that right around that time, she discovered she had a neighbor who was stalking her, which, by the way, that's awful. I'm so sorry that happened to you. But yeah, then that does make you wonder if it was an evil entity, if it was something that was like connected to this neighbor in some way, or if it was like a strong presence that was like doing some crazy stuff in the house, but it was benevolent and it was like trying to protect you and warn you. But that's really interesting. And then we get into the other story of the dead hairdresser that haunted the salon. And I love stories like that where it shows the person, like who they were before, their sense of humor, finding the ghost book on the ground. That's really funny. That shows them like, you know, hey, I'm here. And it's really cool that she was able to pick them out of a picture without ever meeting them. And it sounds like she never saw his apparition. So it's like he was able to connect with her consciously or subconsciously. And it's so wild to me that he was able to help get a murderer convicted. I do have like questions, and I would love to hear more details on that, because I know you said that he knew because the wife always parted her hair one way, but like, That just makes me think that he came in and found it parted the other way, and that could have been like from the mortician or something like that. So are you saying that the husband messed with the body afterwards? That is kind of unclear to me, but that is super crazy and just shows what kind of worker he was, that he remembered that about that client and recognized something was off. Sounds like he had really good intuition. But that's really cool and crazy that you've had so many different experiences. And thank you for sharing your story, Brianna. So this next story I actually got from a YouTube comment on my channel, specifically when I recently released my Aswang episode. This is an Aswang encounter, which I was hoping I would get. And this comes from YouTuber Angkatan Namwaran. And if you didn't listen to my Aswang episode, it is a demonic, flesh-eating, shape-shifting entity that is very well-known in Filipino folklore. It is often known to take many forms, but one of the most popular, well-known forms is the form of a bird. There's a bunch of different types of aswang, but the bird form is the manananggal. So they say, quote, "My aunt has an aswang story. She didn't believe in them because she was born in Manila, the big city, when her son slash my cousin was a couple years old. Her husband bought a house outside of Manila. It was quieter and more rural. She brought one of our maids to help with babysitting. That maid was from the southern region of the country where the legends were still strongly believed. One night, around 11 p.m., my aunt heard the sound of large wings flapping, and the wind seemed to rattle the metal roof. She wondered if it was the Aswang. This was something that people from rural areas still believed in, but she had dismissed it. But our maid, who was chilling in the front porch of the house, nonchalantly said, "Patabanaman dito nakabatka," which roughly translates to, "You've reached even this place?" Then she stood up and went inside of the house, like it was just a normal experience to her. The next morning, my aunt went to check on her pregnant neighbor. She didn't say anything to her other than a greeting, but the neighbor then said, "Namaramdaman moba yung kagabi," which roughly translates to, "Did you feel it last night?" The pregnant neighbor then said that the Aswang probably smelled her pregnancy. This experience convinced my aunt to believe in them. I myself also have some experiences. Once I heard the flapping of huge wings on the roof, and that scared me. I didn't live with my mom, so I visited her every weekend, and she told me that there was an Aswang in the area that her pregnant friend saw, and it was staring at her from the window behind her while she was combing her hair in front of the dresser mirror. I thought this was a nice, creepy story, but I didn't fully believe her. Every morning, I would wake up annoyed that my mom closed the windows because the room would be hot and I felt confined. One night, I was glad that she forgot to close my windows, and I was able to sleep comfortably with the cool nighttime air. But then, after dozing off, I was awakened by the sound of huge wings flapping. I could also hear the metal roof vibrating. That freaked me out. I was awake but paralyzed by fear. My bed was next to the window, but I didn't want to lift my head and see what was causing that noise. The following day, I told my mom what happened, and she told me that's why I always close your windows when you're already asleep. Another story was when me, my mom, and my sister visited relatives on another island. It was the first time that we had met them, and they kept telling us stories about Aswang. First, as the youngest child, my niece, I thought that she was making up this story. Then her grandmother said the same thing. Their maid and the maid's mom were from a family of Aswang. They also told us they had a neighbor who was a known Aswang. I was creeped out given my earlier experience, but part of me had to experience it to fully believe it. On that trip, we had a couple of weird experiences, but there are two memorable ones. The first one, me and my sister heard something walking on the roof in the middle of the night. Then it jumped off, and you could actually hear it impact the ground. Then it ran off. It jumped off the roof of a two-story house. The second story happened when there was a power outage in the middle of the night, so we had the candles on. We dozed off, but got awoken by the sound of large, flapping wings. We were all just there, listening. It felt like it was getting closer. That's when all of the neighborhood dogs started howling, end quote. After doing the Aswang episode, I remember saying, like when I was reading the encounter stories, that it seemed like this entity latches onto families. And we've heard similar stories like that with other cryptids and like demons, for example. And this is just another example of that. This person who wrote in this story, they experienced it and multiple others. And also just like living where I live, I've never heard the sound of loud flapping wings. And I feel like that is so terrifying, especially happening at night and you not being able to see what it is and having something like jump on your roof and run away and you can't see it. Like that's one of the tropes in scary movies that always gets me, is not knowing what the monster is, but like hearing it and feeling it. You know what I mean? So that's terrifying. This next story is from Nick, and Nick has some sleep paralysis stories to share. And he says, quote, "Growing up, my dad would have countless sleep paralysis nightmares. It seemed like every week there was always one that I could overhear him talking about to my grandparents. I went most of my life never having one until a few years ago. I was living in an apartment with my ex at the time, and leading up to the nightmare, there had been strange occurrences going on. I would leave for work fairly early in the morning most of the time, and it would still be dark outside. I remember one morning going to leave for work, and as I was going to walk out of the door, I looked down, and right outside on the floor mat was a small glass jewelry dish with one pair of earrings in it that I knew didn't belong to her. We lived on the second floor with the bedroom window directly facing the stairs coming up, and we had a dog that would bark at the slightest sound. So it was confusing to me that we didn't hear anything and that my dog didn't bark at anyone who could have placed these earrings there. When my ex woke up after I had left, she said she went to pick the earrings up off of the mat and she said that they shattered and the earrings were gone. It didn't make any sense that she or our dogs didn't hear anything. Another strange occurrence, I was leaving for work again, and as I went to put on my shoes by the door, I found two pennies in one of my shoes. There's a superstition that if you find random pennies, it's a sign that a deceased loved one visited you, like pennies from heaven. It was approaching the time of my ex's dad's death, so I was thinking maybe it was him who visited, and I just kept going about my day. Later that night, I was asleep when I heard a loud crash coming from the living room. I went out to see what it was, and there was a picture frame of me that my ex hung up, shattered in the middle of the living room. To get there, it would have meant someone flung it off the wall. No way that it just fell off. The other side of the wall was our bedroom, so it wasn't like something hit the wall, causing the frame to go flying. And this leads into the sleep paralysis. A few days after this happened, I was asleep, and I remember waking up to the feeling of someone or something watching me. I didn't think anything of it, and I went back to sleep. I slept with my back facing the door, but the next thing I knew, I was awake again. But this time, I was laying on my back in the anatomical position, which is basically straight and stiff, with my arms stretched down by my side, my hands open, and palms facing upwards. I couldn't move, but I could look around, and at my door, I saw what I could only explain as being a fuzzy, jagged silhouette. I tried to wake up my ex, but I couldn't move, and I couldn't speak. Everything felt so real, I could feel the air entering into my lungs as I was breathing rapidly. I could feel the thumps of my heart pounding. It felt so real and lucid. I remember closing my eyes, hoping, praying that it wasn't real. I opened my eyes looking back at the doorway, and this thing was gone. But only to see it now at the foot of my bed. This time, I could just feel this horrible sense of dread. I couldn't explain it. I closed my eyes again, and I did what my dad always said that he did when he had nightmares like this. He said the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father prayer. It was the only thing I could think of. I finished and opened my eyes, and now it was at my bedside, standing over me, holding my hand, our fingers interlocked. Then I felt an extremely heavy weight on my chest and this horrible smell. I still really couldn't make out any details other than it looked so evil. I tried to yell as loud as I could, and I opened my mouth just like I was yelling, but no sound would come out. I tried to throw my body into my ex, and finally, I legitimately woke up. I was in the same position, and my right hand was closed, as if it had been holding someone's hand. I checked the time, and it was around 3:30 in the morning. I stayed up the rest of the night, and I couldn't sleep. To this day, I've never had another nightmare like this. So, whatever it was, whatever it wanted, I'll never really know, but I hope it never comes back. End quote. Sleep paralysis is such an interesting phenomenon, and it really falls for me under that umbrella of what fascinates me the most, that connection between our brain, our spirit, our body, our soul, and the paranormal. It also seems like Nick had these things happening to him beforehand and didn't really think about them as being paranormal until this sleep paralysis experience. And then that makes you look back and think, oh, there were things leading up to this, almost like poltergeist kind of activity with the pennies being moved and put into the shoe, the frame flying off the wall. The earrings thing is really weird too. And I was kind of confused about that when you said they shattered. So, like, what was it, the box? Did they, like, disappear? But it's interesting because it seems like there's always these connections, these things going on where it's like we're going through something and we have experiences like this, or there's little signs that are trying to point us to what's going on. But sleep paralysis stories always creep me out so much. And the idea of it disappearing from the doorway to the foot of your bed to being in front of you and like holding your hand is horrifying. I hate that. That's straight out of a horror movie. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't really know what it was, but I hope it never comes back. And I don't know. I really do think that when things like that happen, it's at the very least our brains trying to tell us something. And at the most, it's our spirit, our brain, what have you, making this connection with something in another plane. It's trying to contact or do something to us for whatever reason. So this next story is pretty short, but it is a haunted doll story. And for anyone who knows me, they know that dolls scare the shit out of me. And that's quite literally why I've never done a doll story before, but it is on my list. So this story is from Danica, and Danica says, quote, "When I was a kid, we had a spare bedroom that served as my brother and I's game room, and also the room that my doll lived in. I had a little doll bed and a bunch of other stuff for her. Every night, it was routine. Jake and I would play video games, I would change my doll into her pajamas, and put her to bed. But one night, I woke up to the sound of glass breaking, and I got really spooked that someone had broken in. I ran to the game room to grab my doll, and when I opened the door, she was sitting upright in the human-sized beanbag chair, watching TV static. I had the worst feeling in my stomach seeing that, so I then ran to my parents' room to wake them up. Dad searched the house with a bat, and of course, no intruder, no glass. But I put the doll back in her box and on the top shelf of the garage, and I never looked at her again, because I swore she was evil. I suffered from awful nightmares nearly my entire life. The most vivid, dark, and demonic things that you could ever imagine. They only resolved a few years ago, just randomly. My brother also was clearing out the garage and threw the doll away a few years ago. I don't know, not the scariest story, but mysterious." End quote. That's absolutely terrifying. You're telling me that you walked into a room and a doll was sitting upright watching TV static. I would have burned that house down. Also, it's interesting that Danica's nightmares stopped a few years ago, and that's also when the brother got rid of the doll. I mean, you hear that in a lot of those stories of the paranormal. You see how much it really takes a toll on the person and how they're plagued with grief, with nightmares. It changes their behavior. And it was only when he got rid of the doll, at least from what I'm understanding, that the nightmare stopped. Yeah, that one's crazy. So this final story is from April, and April is actually another fellow podcaster. She is from the Crime to Burn podcast. We are in a podcast support group together. April is a very cool person, super talented podcaster. You should go check it out, Crime to Burn. And today she is bringing us her true crime story. I hope you guys enjoy it. It is an audio file. So here's April.
This is April from the Crime to Burn podcast. This is the story of how my life was saved by a colony of ants. Yes, tiny six-legged insects that prevented me from being on my own episode of a true crime podcast. I was a firefighter when I was younger, so I have a history of doing things just because people tell me, "That's crazy, you can't do that." And while one of those dissenting voices resulted in my career choice, I'm a fire protection engineer, hence the true crime podcast focused on criminal fires, it certainly wasn't the only time my, "well, I'll show you" attitude steered my life in a direction that was completely unexpected. And it was exactly this kind of stubborn streak that resulted in me living on an oil platform in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico when I was 19 years old, way back in 1998. Yes, I am old. Now, it all started with an on-campus job interview for an internship with a major oil company. I actually only signed up for the interview to get some interview experience out of it, but things took a turn because the woman that interviewed me was actually the first female graduate of the fire protection engineering program at my school, and we totally bonded. I am a talker and a chronic oversharer, but we were Insta friends. And because the person scheduled immediately before me and immediately after me didn't show up, we got to talk for way longer than we should have. Total connection. Now, she told me she was hiring for jobs in New Jersey and Texas, and I obviously looked less than enthused until she said two magical words to me. "New Orleans." My eyes must have lit up despite my efforts to portray a cool and professional air in this first industry job interview. I was 19. I was a sophomore in college. I was living in a fire station and working as a firefighter EMT whenever I wasn't in class. And this woman was telling me that she held the ticket for me to go and get paid to live in New Orleans for a whole summer. Now, she did warn me that the job would involve a lot of travel, and solo travel at that. But she told me that I'd also have the opportunity to fly to offshore oil platforms in the Gulf of Mexico in helicopters. And that's it. I wanted this job. New Orleans and helicopters? Where do I sign up? And when she told me what they paid interns, I almost choked on my water. I thought interns were given a pittance, but no, this job paid more money in 3 months than I could make in a year working part-time at a retail store. Plus, they gave you a living stipend to cover housing and moving costs. So I walked into that job interview not expecting to even want the job, but I walked out completely sold, already planning my move to New Orleans. They hadn't even made a job offer yet, or finished interviewing for that matter, but I knew this was my job and I was moving to New Orleans. I got home so excited to tell my then boyfriend about it, and his words were, "You can't do that. You're not going to live on an oil rig over the summer." He thought I was being ridiculous, which absolutely triggered my "I'll show you" reaction. So when the offer came, I signed it without a second thought. I did show him. Now, this may have been the point where he realized I was not going to be the kind of compliant marriage material that he wanted. Hard to say. But I would be leaving for my new job just weeks before his college graduation, and I was going to miss his graduation party, his graduation, and his parents in town. That part wasn't a huge loss. But I was going to miss all the things. But y'all, it was a lot of money, and New Orleans, and helicopters. So I told him that I would throw him a party when I came home, and we can host his parents anytime. I even promised to buy him a black bathrobe and play pomp and circumstance as he marched around the living room, and I would clap if he wanted. But I wasn't missing this opportunity. My parents, God bless them, obviously had feelings, but they had learned a long time ago that my stubborn streak was going to be bigger than their reservations, and it was a major oil company, and their intern program was really robust. They had dozens of interns every year, and to the best of our knowledge, none of them had been killed. And they were also impressed that I could make enough money in one summer to cover more than a year of tuition, books, and living expenses. So I packed my bags and headed to New Orleans soon after the spring semester ended, and it was awesome. But there was one looming trip out to an oil field called High Island. And while most of my offshore trips to closer-in platforms were out and back the same day to conduct testing, this one was not going to be a quick out-and-back trip. They were due for a lot of inspections and equipment testing, and because of its location, it was a long helicopter ride out there. I had to travel from Louisiana all the way down to South Texas and then catch a helicopter from a heliport there that would take over an hour to get me out to the platform. My only other option was to take a boat, which would take 3 days. I opted for the helicopter. Now, most people would have flown to the nearest airport, rented a car, and driven to the helicopter pad from there, but I couldn't do that because I was 19 and I wasn't old enough to rent a car yet. So I had to drive all the way from New Orleans to South Texas by myself. I arrived in Surfside, Texas in the early afternoon because I had gotten on the road well before dawn that day. I went straight to the heliport, but I had been warned that since helicopters didn't go out to these really far out oil fields every day, I may have to sit there waiting just to see if a spot happened to open up or a helicopter happened to go out there. And if they didn't, then I would leave to go find a hotel for the night and come back the next day and try again. And that is what happened. I left the airfield that evening and went to find a hotel. And the closest hotel to the airfield was a La Quinta. And it shared a parking lot with another hotel. I don't remember the brand name, something of equal quality. But both hotels were the kind of motor lodge type hotels where there's an exterior walkway that opens onto each room. And then there's a second story with a long exterior balcony and all the doors open onto that. I checked in, and there was a diner right next to the hotel, so I checked into my ground floor room and went over to the diner to get dinner. I had planned to get takeout dinner and bring it back to the hotel room so I could sit there and watch TV in the air conditioning and after that take a shower and then just go straight to bed because I was going to have to be back at the helicopter base at a stupid early hour. And while I was sitting at the counter waiting for my takeout meal, this guy came and sat next to me. Now, I was a 19-year-old idiot, and this guy struck up a conversation. Honestly, every alarm bell in my head should have been going off. He wanted to know what I was in town for, and my situation felt so novel, and I was so proud of what I was doing that I was going out to an oil platform that I told him all about my trip. So in short, I told him that I was 19, traveling alone, would be at my hotel alone all night, and nobody would be expecting me until the next morning. Quite stupid of me, ladies. Take note, don't do this. But at the time, it just felt like normal, friendly conversation. He didn't come off as alarming. I didn't have any bad feelings about him. Now, he did ask me if I would just sit at the counter with him and eat with him instead of taking my meal back to my room, but I was hot and tired, and I just wanted to go watch TV and take a shower, so I declined. I went back to my room, curled up on the bed, and ate my greasy food, and then I went to go get a shower. And when I walked into the bathroom, there was an entire colony of giant black ants making their way up the wall and across the floor, and I was like, nope. So I called the front desk, and they offered to have somebody come over to my room with bug spray, and I was like, that's fine, you can do whatever you want, but I'm not staying in this room where the ants are. And I'm certainly not staying here after you filled up with bug spray, so please move me, preferably to a second floor room. So they did. And because this hotel was an L shape, my new room actually gave me a view of where my old room had been. So I moved up there. There was no ants. I took a shower. I got ready for bed. And then I decided to go and get a soda from a vending machine. So I went over to the window to check outside first, and I cracked the blinds and looked, and the guy that I had been talking to at the restaurant was walking back and forth in front of the room I had checked out of, and he looked like he was trying to peer in the window of the room I had been in earlier that day. Apparently, he had watched me leave the restaurant and noted which room I was in. So I called the front desk and they sent a security guard that chased him off, but I was not comfortable. So I called my boss back in New Orleans and asked him what to do, and he said, "Don't even check out. We don't know if he's in cahoots with the security guard or anyone at the hotel, so just pack up your stuff, get in your company car, leave, and go find a different hotel, preferably one with interior corridors." So that's what I did. And I had no other issues that night. I managed to survive the entire night, and that's how an ant colony saved me from probably being a true crime statistic. So ladies, don't talk to strangers, don't worry about being rude, and definitely don't tell anyone you're traveling alone.
Wow, so that was insane. April, I just want to say you shouldn't be blaming yourself at all. You were 19. He was the creep, not you. And I also love the idea that nature was looking out for you. That's also so insane that you were able to see him through your window, just pacing. What a creep. And also really, really cool that you were able to do so many exciting things at such a young age. April is a badass. And that, everybody, is volume 2 of another perplexing listener-sode. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed these listener stories. If you did, I would love if you continue to follow along. Leave a 5-star review, write a rating review wherever you listen. You can write reviews on Apple Podcasts, and it really, really helps. Every time you leave 5 stars, that helps me get new listeners, boosts me up the algorithms. So that is much appreciated. Continue to tell other people about the show. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you are listening on Spotify, like most of my listeners, go check out those Spotify comments. Drop a comment down below. I can reply. We can have a whole little conversation. Which story was your favorite? Have you ever had something like this happen to you? I would love to hear about it. And with that being said, if you have a story, anything mysterious, true crime, alien, paranormal, whatever, I want to hear it. Send your stories to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com so that I can feature them in my next listener-sode. And yeah, I love you all so much. Those stories were insane. And there's something special about hearing y'all's stories. It makes it more believable to me because, not to say other people aren't ordinary people, but you know, we're all ordinary people living our lives. And we have these crazy unexplained things happen to us. And yeah, I just want to give people a platform to share those things. So thank you to everyone who sent your stories in. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week and stay safe. And I will talk to you next week, where I will be bringing you a very big case. You don't want to miss it. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast. Hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brannon. Assistant producer is TJ McRae. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by leaving a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really is the best way to support. Have a topic request or a perplexing story of your own you'd like to share? Send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show further and unlock exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Perplexity merch and additional support links can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.